from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase... They're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
The Hot Corner, hour number two. Joe Fisher, Jordan Schultz, Patrick Harris will return to us next week. He had a nice little trip down to Anaheim, the happiest place on earth, where that bastard mouse took him for everything he had. I hope he had a turkey leg, though.
Yeah, good old Mickey Mouse turkey leg. Those look good.
And that fat churro that they have as well.
They have the...
that foot-long churro or whatever it is.
They have the whipped pineapple, like the Dole whipped pineapple drink. Or like
I never got that when I was down
there. It's actually really good. It's refreshing on a nice hot SoCal day.
I was going to say, that does sound refreshing. That does sound nice.
We don't need it up here so much anymore. Heat wave's over.
Oh, buddy. You just wait. Just because you said that, we're going to get some more 90s.
Bro, sure. It's like 75-80 for the next week and a half.
Oh, it's been fantastic. I'm not going to lie. I mean, these last couple of days, it's been real nice.
Perfect Melvin weather, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we got to get to the range. It's the last couple of rounds, things have creeped up where we need to work on the swing. I'm not going to go and use the word yips, but it's getting ugly.
Don't go Chuck Knoblock on Knob. Wow. All right. Start that again. Don't go Chuck Knoblock on me.
I'm trying my best not to, Schultzy. We're struggling out there, though. We are struggling. So we just need to, you know, get back to the shop, work on some things, grease some things up, and, you know, just remember what we're doing. It's like riding a bike, you know. We'll remember eventually.
I will never forget my first time ever on a golf course. I was 13, and my stepdad, who had taken up golfing a couple years before that, we were on vacation, and my stepbrother and I had nothing else to do, so my stepdad was going in a foursome with a group of his friends, so we decided to tag along, got to drive the golf cart, and so I'll never forget the frustration. that he showed after pretty much every tee shot. I mean, we're talking 18 holes of just throwing the club into the grass. And I'm 13, and I'm just like, so this is supposed to be fun, right?
Yeah, yeah, on Sunday, it definitely wasn't a... It wasn't an angry round. It was a defeated round. It was okay. One of my buddies I went with, I golfed with him a lot, and it was, you know, I kept kind of going to him, and it's like, dude, you know me. Like, you've golfed with me a lot this summer. Like, what is going on?
Oh, man? You pull the Michael Scott. What is with me today? Usually hit those. Yeah. Airballing the three.
And text line, Vancouver text line, Fish is in denial about them yips. Listen, we'll see what happens at the range. If I get to the range in the next couple days, and it's a lot of the same with that bucket, then, yeah, we might have to be calling up old Andy Morris over at X Golf in Tualatin and be getting a solo lesson in to be like, hey, mind looking at my swing and telling me what the hell is going on right now, please?
Just get a couple drinks in you, bro. Just calm down. And then after, what, three or four White Claws out on the course? Or
I'll tell you what, Jordan.
You don't even care.
The three or four White Claws on Sunday didn't really help.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to help. I'm sorry.
Hey, I appreciate, maybe the transfusion. Maybe that's what I need to start doing.
You're a little stronger. A little stronger, baby.
All right. Do we have some sort of, like, baseball music? Some sort of, like, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball or baseball bed? I think we have baseball noises or something like that. Yeah, like, crowd noise or something like that. I don't know. Just something to spruce things up here. Hell, just throw on the NBA on NBC music. I don't care. Give me some basketball. No, don't do that.
No. Don't do that. I'll find something. Give me a second.
But I wanted to have some music playing because I have a little fun game that I wanted to play. We are a week before the trade deadline. I've got five names here. I want to trade or fade. Will this player be traded to a new team or fade the idea of them being traded to a new team? So I got five names here, Schultzy. I'm filibustering for some music.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to give you a crappy not baseball music, but I'm not sure we got anything in the system. Right. You know what? I gotta go with it because this is the only baseball song that we have. So,
you know what?
It's baseball-y.
We'll take it.
It's what I got.
We'll take it. The first name on this list, Randy Arozarena of the Tampa Bay Rays, who has been playing particularly well since the All-Star break. He looks like he's returned to All-Star form. I want to pull up his stats over the last, I guess it would be 4 or 5 days since we came back, but he had a great series against the Yankees. And he definitely looks like he is returning to form, which I'm sure will drive up the price just a little bit more and might incentivize the Rays to trade him and get a haul back. Let's see here. Last 7 days, 6 for 16, 3 home runs, 4 ribbies. He against the Yankees, that series in the Yankees, he had 3 home runs, 4 RBIs. So, yeah, basically those are his stats for against the Yankees. Went 4 for 5 in one of those games. So possibly Randy Arozarena finding his swing again. Will he find a new team? Trade or fade, Schultzy?
Oh, they're going to trade him. I don't think the Rays, even if they don't get exactly what they want for him, I don't think the Rays are going to hold on to a guy like that they could get prospects for the future of their organization for. That's how they do it. That's what the Rays' philosophy is. So just based on that alone, I will say trade.
I will say trade as well. Dear God, didn't know he was batting .209. I knew it wasn't a great season for him.
Oh, he was batting like .190. He's, I think, in the last 30 games, it's not just the All-Star break. It's been like almost .300 in the last month. So he has turned it around after an ass start to the season.
I am going to say trade as well. He's 29. I think that the better years are behind him. He probably has a few more years of production left, but I don't know if it's going to be anything what it's been like since he came up with the Rays. And I think that there is a team that could benefit from having his bat and maybe a change of scenery. That will be just what they need to put them over the top. And I believe that the Rays, they are ready to sell. You saw them get rid of Savali earlier this year, a couple weeks back, rather, sending him over to the Brewers. So I think that is the sign of things to come. The Rays aren't in a spot where they need to completely strip things down. They have like three starters that are all injured that will come back next year. So maybe it's a retooling, if anything. But I think with the age of Randy Arozarena and maybe seeing the best years behind him, that sell now, get what you can for him, and hope it's enough to where you can maybe get some prospects. Or maybe get you know, some nice arms in return that can help you out next season. But I am with you, Schultz. I say this is trade, and there are reports that the Dodgers are one of the teams that are in on Randy Arozarena. We'll get to the Dodgers here in the next segment, perhaps, because, man, they are really pissing me off.
But they're just going to trade for everybody. Good God.
The next player on this list of the Chicago White Sox, Garrett Crochet, starting pitcher. Schultzy, trade or fade?
Oh, Garrett Crochet also on the move. This seems to be more of a starting pitching heavy trade deadline as far as guys that are going to be available as opposed to hitters. But Crochet is one of the better names on that list. You talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers, who need some outfield help. Well, they also need starting pitching help because their guys just continually get injured. I think they are getting Clayton Kershaw back here either this week or next week. He will make his first start of the season, or he already did. So they're getting some help there, but they just let James Paxton go, designating him for assignment. So yeah, they've got a need, and if it's not the Dodgers, I could see somebody like the Yankees slipping and acquiring him. There is a huge need for starting pitching right now. Crochet's on the move. Trade.
I am going to say trade as well, because the White Sox need everything, and they suck, and I understand where it's like, and what, this is going to kind of be the same sentiment for the next player. Although I'll be going a different route with the next player on this list, is that when you are this bad and you have a great player, why do you hold on to him? Like, how close are you actually? And if you are as bad as the White Sox, you need to acquire as much young talent as possible. And Garrett Crochet, again, with how he is playing this year, you can get that young talent and you can get a lot of it. And again, where the White Sox are, it's just not a spot as a franchise where you're like, well, at least we have him, and man, our future sure looks bright, and thank God we have this ace to lean on for the foreseeable future. It's like, no, you need aces, you need batters, you need everything. So trade your best asset on the pitching side of things and get as much as you can. And as we see with every trade deadline, there is a team that is desperate for pitching, starting pitching especially. And Garrett Crochet, I think, will be on the move. 3.07 ERA this year, 157 strikeouts, a 0.97 whip for Garrett Crochet. I believe he will be traded as well.
That's going to take like two top prospects to acquire a line like that.
I believe so. Trying to figure out which team these guys go to, that's a different story. But it's usually the guys that are, or the teams that are in the race to try and win it all this year. The Dodgers, the Orioles, I don't know if the Phillies need to really make any moves. The Yankees, perhaps. But again, they got some arms, just as long as they start pitching better. But the next person on this list, and this, again, kind of same sentiment, it's Tarik Skubal of the Detroit Tigers.
Yes.
Now, the Tigers, the thing that's different about them versus the White Sox is they don't completely suck. They're better than they've been in the last couple of years. And Tarik Skubal literally is one of, if not the best pitchers in baseball this year. Saw another insane graphic that since September 1st of last year, he is like number one in every major pitching category. ERA, whip, fielding independent pitching, which is a big stat that they're starting to use now, F-war, whatever the hell stat you want to use, Tarik Skubal seems to be number one in every pitching stat. But will the Detroit Tigers trade him? Trade or fade on Skubal, Schultzy?
Yeah, this is a tough one. You know, you're not necessarily looking at like a team of young studs. They do have, I love their new second baseman, Colt Keith, that young kid. Oh my goodness. I don't know if you know about him, dude. He's lighting the freaking world up so far this year, hitting 250, 10 homers, almost 40 ribbies. It looks like he's always grabbing a hit, and he can hit all around. I've seen him just getting hits away, pulling the ball. Love to watch that kid. But you look at the rest of their lineup, it's full of has-beens. You know, Gio Urshela, Javi Baez, Mark Canna. Love Mark Canna. He's a great power hitter, kind of a sneaky power hitter, but he's getting older. And outside of Tarik Skubal, you're looking at kind of a banged-up starting rotation. So, you, in my opinion, you don't really have the pieces to, like, go forward with a really good young starting pitcher that here soon you're going to have to pay, right? They're what, 4 or 5 years into him
he's
with
got,
control. So.
And after this year, they have 2 more years of arbitration with
him. Okay, so under, they've got 2 more years.
They got hit, he's under control for those 2 more years after this.
But you kind of have to weigh, well, is he going to get injured versus what his value is right now? You're right, this is the toughest decision, but if I'm Detroit at this point, I think what you can get back for him on this pitching market is going to be quite a bit. I think if you're looking at like a 2 top prospect price for Crochet, it's probably going to be a 2 to 3 top prospect price for Tarik Skubal, right? If I'm Detroit, I don't think I can say no to that. So I know you're sitting opposite of this, Joe, but I'm going to say trade.
And I'm just leaning on the reports I feel like I see mostly is that...
For sure.
There's a lot of MLB insiders, Bob Nightingale, Ben Verlander. I mean, there are a lot of guys saying do not trade him. They shouldn't trade him. They won't trade him. And when you are literally the best pitcher in baseball, you're under contract for another 2 years. And with the Detroit Tigers not having to pay Miggy Cabrera anymore, it's like, how about you start spending money on offense again and start acquiring talent? The problem with the Tigers, though, and I kind of mentioned this last week, is that any sort of hitting talent they have built up in their farm system, they have not developed well as soon as they have gotten to the majors. And their hitting has been underwhelming. Spencer Torkelson, I said again that, what is it? Remember, Akil Baddoo was supposed to be the next best thing for this Tigers team as well.
Yeah, Torkelson got sent down. You're right.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like they're going to need to spend money on some proven at-bats in the offseason and start building it around Tarik Skubal. I mean, I don't know how much money and years are left on that Javi Baez deal either, but dear God, get rid of him too. Start getting some proven players, proven bats that are going to be able to improve this offense. Because, and then I don't know, I haven't looked at what Jack Flaherty's contract is at. He could be one that is more so on the move on this Detroit Tigers staff. I say that Skubal is going to stay put, and the Tigers are going to just try and build this team up a little bit more. The pitching is good, whether it's not starting, but their bullpen has been traditionally well, playing well as also over the last few years. So it's just getting bats, and I think that they're going to hold on to him and do that in the offseason. Let's take a break. I got a couple more names on here, and then talk about how the Dodgers are annoying and the Braves are annoyed. We get to that next year, Hot Corner. On 1080 The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, we're doing trade or fade. We've got a couple more players on this list. And talk about some teams that are leading in the National League. But we got just two more players here. And one of them is Blue Jays first baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Ooh, this is a toughie.
This is a toughie. I'll go first on this. I say fade. I say that the Blue Jays are going to do their best to get rid of everything else but Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You want to talk about a proven bat, proven commodity. I understand what you can get for him. But I feel like you have enough on this team as far as trade assets go that you could still get enough decent pieces for your farm system, younger players that can help build this team back up. And if you're Toronto and want to keep selling tickets and filling up the Rogers Center, then you keep Vladimir Guerrero on this team. I would be very surprised to see the Blue Jays let go of him. Because also, yes, it's not a great year for the Blue Jays. One of the more disappointing teams. The offense is not what it's been like in the years past. I feel like that can be, for some reason, that team, I feel like they can right the storm a little bit more. And couple moves away, I think they can get right back into being one of the best teams, especially having Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but it's just a matter of what moves that you do make. I just think there are some players that you have to get rid of at this point, like probably George Springer. That ship has sailed. Got to get rid of Bo Bichette, who actually just went on the IL today. So I don't know if that's going to be something the team is interested in. Maybe that was a preemptive trade deadline IL move. I think it was like back soreness or something like that. It was like a vague injury. But I say that the Vladimir Guerrero and the Blue Jays stay together, fade this idea of a trade.
Yeah, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., still only 25 years old, is one of the hardest kind of players to actually trade because on paper, he's really good. Statistically, one of the best players in MLB over the last five seasons. Led the league in home runs back in 2021. He's been an all-star already four times. This is a franchise player. These players do not come along very often, right? Generational talent. And if you're looking at maybe a top prospect and a group of, you know, select guys that might be good coming to you from an organization, I am hard-pressed if I'm the Toronto Blue Jays to accept that deal. You can't get a player in 5 years out of any of these minor leaguers or prospects that you're going to be trading away in Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He's probably the best overall organizational talent you've had since Roy freaking Holiday. I think Patrick said that here on Hot Corner a couple of weeks ago. They're bad right now, but these are the pieces that you build around. It's like when you want to reset, it's the type of hitter that you're looking for. Why give up on that? So no, I say fade as well. I'm sure that they're going to be getting offers, but unless they get like a blow my pants off offer, I'm talking, you know, like Jason Dominguez and three other top prospects from the Yankees, or the Mariners send Colt Emerson, Harry Ford, Tyler Locklear, and then Emerson Hancock as well, which is literally their four best prospects. I'm saying no if I'm Toronto.
He is a free agent after next year. So he is soon approaching contract negotiations with the Blue Jays or possibly another team. But I think if you're the Blue Jays, you keep him and just build around him for the future.
They were ready to hand Shohei Ohtani $680 million. Obviously, Vladdy doesn't pitch, but my point in making this is that they could and are very ready to hand a Vladdy Guerrero Jr. $400 million.
And the last player on this list, I think you and I can both agree on this, Luis Robert Jr. of the White Sox. Same thing with Garrett Crochet. If you have any semblance of talent on this White Sox team that isn't I mean, honestly, I don't even know how old Luis Robert Jr. is.
He is 26, so he's starting to get on the other side of his 20s. But
I was
going to
say, if there is talent
point.
Above the age of 25, then you need to get rid of it. So he clears that benchmark. White Sox, you need to start fresh, get as much young talent for your farm system as possible, get it in your pipeline. And Luis Robert Jr., not a great year by any stretch of the imagination. He had a much better year last year, but I think that's what you sell teams on, is what he could be for your offense and change of scenery, what he can do for your playoff roster in October. And so he's got to go. I say trade.
Yeah, I also say trade just because of the state that the White Sox are in as a franchise. He's not going to get you top dollar in return because of the season that he's had.
No.
You know, yeah, he was hitting .190 at one point. Now, thankfully, just like Randy Arozarena, over the last month has actually been anything but anemic, hit a few more homers, but you know, his slugging, his OPB, not terrible. I think OPS total 738, so that's pretty much at league average, I think, for a Major League Baseball player. But yeah, so he's going to get something for you if you're the White Sox, but he's not going to get you a lot. You still have to take the deal, though.
Saw a report from Jeff Kerr of CBS Philadelphia that apparently the White Sox have had scouts around the Phillies minor league team in recent weeks. So maybe they're sniffing around Philadelphia looking for prospects for Luis Robert Jr. or Garrett Crochet. I don't think they need the arm, but again, might be possible. But yeah, I definitely see him getting traded. To move on to teams, the Dodgers, boy, they're really pissing me off. Not only are they likely to get Tyler Glasnow back this week, they're likely to get Clayton Kershaw this week. There are reports that they are in on Randy Arozarena. They are one of the teams that have been looking at Tarik Skubal as well. And I don't know if it was their GM or president of baseball operations, but he basically said that an arm starting pitching, is something they are very much looking at and engaged in trying to acquire a starting pitcher at the trade deadline. Piss off the Dodgers. As the Vancouver Four text line said a couple minutes ago, next segment, Dodgers burn in hell.
They've got everything. Like, they don't need more.
Can you just stop?
Didn't they? It's crazy that they are already talking about the need of an outfielder when they called up Andy Pajes. Like, I understand they're dealing with injuries, but Pajes is an outfielder, right? And he has hit very well since he's been up this year. They've got prospects. They've got pitchers to fill in. The young two kids that have stepped up and actually pitched really well over the past month. You didn't even know that they had those guys. Like, what more do they need?
Like I said, piss off. Alden Gonzalez, ESPN baseball reporter, Garrett Crochet is, quote, at the top, end quote, of the Dodgers list as the deadline approaches. Again, if they somehow pull off trading for a top pitching prospect, top pitcher, and a one of the top hitting players at the deadline, like Randy Arozarena, I swear to God, man. I swear to God. I mean, even if they land a Jack Flaherty and they're just able to get one of each, I'm not going to be happy about this. It's like, dude, can you just stop, please? And then they get Glasnow, and then they get Kershaw back. It's looking like Yoshinobu Yamamoto is probably going to be done for the rest of the year. He says that he would like to come back by the end of the year, but I don't know. I'm sure that every injured player would like to come back and start playing for their team again, but that doesn't mean they will. So Dodgers, piss off, please. You're annoying. And how annoyed are you if you're the Atlanta Braves? Because, my God, they are falling apart. Who was it? Ozzie Albies is going to be out for 8 weeks now. He just got an injury the other day. I forget if it was arm or leg, but I just saw that he's out for 8 weeks at least. And then Max Fried was pulled from a game the other day. You obviously lost Ronald Acuna earlier in the year. You lost Spencer Strider earlier in the year. Like, you are hobbling to the finish line if you are the Atlanta Braves. Apparently, they had a players-only meeting today.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was more so just to learn the names of the new players they had to call up from AAA that they're now having to put on the roster because of injuries. But the Braves, I mean, for a team that, you know, you won a World Series, which fantastic, you're happy about that. But a team that was built to win World Series, to go on a run, and this season has just got to be an absolute punch in the balls. Like, it's probably lost season. And what you're kind of like the Mariners mentality is like, let's just get to the playoffs and see if, you know, our stalwart starters in Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale, who knew before the beginning of the year that those two were going to be their best pitchers, right? And hope that they can make a run. But man, you have just got to be really annoyed if you're a Braves fan with how this season's gone, not being able to hit the ball and then just losing guys left and right. Vancouver Forward text line, it's worth the price of admission to listen to the 234 ways you guys pronounce a Rosarena.
Yeah. I'm not a Tampa Bay Rays fan.
Arizarena.
I was ripping sports cards on YouTube his rookie year, so I probably said it at least six different ways. I still don't know how to say it.
Let's see if we can pull up a baseball pronunciation guide. It's not even on baseball reference.
Of course, see, that's where... fail.
How are we supposed to get better?
Rania, well, I literally got to Google it. Arizarena. That's literally what Google tells me. See? Yes.
Arizarena.
Arouser, baby.
Aroused.
Arizarena.
Arizarena. There we go.
Hey, speaking of getting aroused for something, baseball Sunday mornings back on Roku this last Sunday. I don't know if you caught it.
Oh, yeah. The coup. Yeah. The row. Yeah. They got MLB streaming now.
Yeah, they got MLB streaming. I mean, it's pretty cool to see just like games for free on a, you know, on a service you don't have to pay for. So.
Arizarena.
Arizarena.
That texter's happy now, for God's sake.
Randy Arizarena. That I am literally reading this off of Google, so if that's wrong, then take it up with Google, not us.
I'm going to have to pull up the YouTube page that announces names for me.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there's a video. I love it.
Yes, of course there is. All right, let's take a break. Do we have fair or foul, Schultzy?
I do not.
All right,
I was up too early today. I apologize.
All good. Let's talk about some disappointing teams in the MLB and some disappointing players as well. I'd like to read off some stats there. But I am curious, and you can text this in to 503-864-6326, the Vancouver Forward text line. Who do you think is the most disappointing team in the MLB? Let's try and leave the Mariners out of this. Let's try and think outside the box.
Seattle. Okay.
Some MLB teams that have been most disappointing to you 100 games into the season. We do that next. But first, Schultzy, Sports Center update. Most disappointing teams in the MLB season. 503-864-6326 to share your thoughts. Someone texted in, is this the 1080 The Fan text number? And I said, yes, this is the 1080 The Fan text line number. Are you feeling lonely? Hot singles are ready to chat in your city. $1 for me to send you back sexy comments. $2 for me to do some explicit things on the 1080 The Fan Only page. We need to get that up going. I'll do some foot stuff. We'll get another revenue stream in here. Did you pull that audio by chance?
Yeah, just trying to get it in the system really quick.
So I had to look up how to pronounce Randy Arizarena. And dear God, I still don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But we had a YouTube, and it's funny that he has been in the league for like 6 years or whatever. And we still don't know how to say his name correctly. But welcome to working on a baseball show where you probably mess up a dude. Listen, Jared Kelenic's been in the league for this line. I'm probably
Kelnick.
See, and I pronounce his name wrong still.
Kelnick.
Right? Do I know who he is? Do I know what teams he played for? Do I know how he is as a baseball player? Yes. Can I pronounce his name right? No.
I've heard Major League Baseball announcers pronouncing his name incorrectly. Like, it's like, oh my God, that is not his name.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I wanted to pull the audio for
just a second.
This YouTube video of this guy telling us how to pronounce Randy A's name. That's what I'll refer to him going forward. Just Randy A of the Tampa Bay Rays. just listen to this guy tell us how to pronounce Randy A's name.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of this Cuban professional baseball player for the Tampa Bay Rays of Major League Baseball. How do you go about pronouncing his name? In Spanish, his name would be said as Arrozarena. But in English, or in America, it is generally said as Randy Arrozarena.
Ah.
Randy Arrozarena.
Randy Arrozarena.
Arrozarena.
Okay.
See, I thought the arena part that you needed the
Rania,
the squiggly line above the E or the N or something
the
like that.
AA or NA, I can't remember how you say it.
Yeah, we're going back to seventh grade Spanish here.
The Spanish alphabet.
Usted or es ustedes?
Thank you. God, I remember that question. I don't remember the answer, but I remember the question.
Only use vosotros in Spain, all right?
Yeah, vosotros is outside of Spain does not apply.
Your teachers are just crush you. Don't you ever use vosotros. If I hear you say vosotros, I'll kill you.
Well, then how about just don't teach it to me? How about just don't even give it to me, like, at all? Like, really? You're making me think of that?
I remember actually down in Anaheim, where Patrick Harris just was. My friends, the last day we were there, we were spent a few days down there. We went to essentially what was a swap meet. It was like this this giant warehouse down the road from Disneyland, and it had all these little booths and merchants and different things you could buy. Sneakers and get a haircut and get a tattoo and get a stereo system. And we were probably the only four white guys in that entire place.
Shocking.
Yeah. The Hispanic Latino population ran strong throughout that place. And I decided I wanted to try and order a mango smoothie in Spanish and bone up on my Spanish. And that went about as well as expected. Por favor, me gusta or me necesito slushy de mango. Or something along those lines.
Good for you.
I gave up immediately. The look on the lady's face was just like, you done there, chief? She didn't, but it would have been great if she just spoke like perfect English back at me. Like, yeah, that's going to be $5.99. Like, you're embarrassing yourself. Just please stop. Some other things that are embarrassing themselves are a few teams in the MLB. Schultzy, the Cubs, to me, are one of the more disappointing teams in the MLB. Their president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, said that barring a big win streak over the next week, anything the team does at the trade deadline will be to help them in future years. Chicago, my NL Central pick, is either last place or tied for last place in the NL Central. The Brewers, the Cardinals, and now the Pirates are all above them in the standings. Right now, it's between them and the Reds jockeying for that last place position. And I want to talk about one other team that is disappointing. It is the Cincinnati Reds. But to me, because I had them winning the NL Central, the Cubs, one of the most disappointing teams in the MLB.
I mean, I like your Cubs pick, brother. I feel like the Craig Council hire was such a big rush of energy for them. Like, the Cubs are getting back to the World Series, like Joe Madden 2014 vibes, right?
To take it from a divisional opponent to the manager, just like, yeah. That's a pretty nice manager you have. Would be a shame if we just took him and then won the NL Central. Well, some injuries and some underperformances on the as far as pitching and batting goes, then you'll find yourself in last place of the division.
Yeah, Dansby Swanson's having a really down year. It's like he's a Seattle Mariner, hitting like .213, just not great at the plate right now.
Well, it's like your two rookies are the guys that are having the best seasons on your team, Michael Bush and Imanaga. And
yeah.
It's like, hey, the guys that were playing really good last year, you want to possibly play a little better? I would say that, you know, them losing Jordan Montgomery, not much of a big loss for them since he sucks with the Diamondbacks now. But they lost Marcus Stroman. It's been a disappointing year for the Chicago Cubs. The Reds were another team I had on my list. I mean, also, why the World Series winners, the Rangers, paging the reigning World Series champions, Texas
Arizona
Rangers.
Diamondbacks on the list as well. I would put them in the disappointing category. I think we thought their young core was maybe going to take a step up this year.
And they have been stagnant, right around the middle of the field at best. They're playing a little bit better lately, but I mean, as far as like Corbin Carroll goes, I mean, just him alone.
Corbin Carroll has
again,
been terrible.
Jordan Montgomery.
Well, they've been considering, and it's crazy that they're even whispering, you know, possibly trading Christian Walker. Like these guys there, they were were organizational pieces. Now, what, 6 months after their World Series appearance, we're hearing about possible trades. That's crazy to me.
A couple AL East teams I got on my list as well, Rays and Blue Jays. They have been underwhelming this year. And I would say that if it's not the Cubs, the most disappointing to me team to me in the National League has got to be the Giants. They went after Matt Chapman. They got Blake Snell, brought in Jung Ho Lee, Jorge Soler.
Spent a lot of money.
They look like they were trying to make a move and trying to be winners this year, and they have been inconsistent as hell. Very disappointing. I had them finishing second in the division this year against the Dodgers. 60 games left. A lot can happen. But the way that the Giants have been playing this year, their inconsistency is what drives me nuts, and not being able to close out games either. It's a very weird team. And maybe Bob Melvin in year two is able to turn some things around. I'm sure this is not the year that he was expecting either. But if I were to go a 1-2, I would go Cubs 1, Giants 2 is my most disappointing in the National League. And then, yeah, I think the most disappointing in the American League would have to probably go Rangers. And then I would probably say Mariners, number 2. Even though they're still above 500 and have a chance at the playoffs, it's just that offense has been so damn putrid that it disappoints me.
Yeah, National League, I'll go Cubs. The Reds, I'm not sure they're too high on my list. I'm actually going to put my D-backs up there, even over the Giants. Like, they went to a World Series last year, and they are supposed to stay at that level of production, and they're not even close to it. Yeah, they could sneak in, maybe, if they have a good run in the second half of the season into the wild card, but that's just not going to happen. So I would say the D-backs, number 2, the Cubs, number 1 for the NL for me. Mariners, yeah, number 2 in the American League, and yeah, the Texas Rangers. But I don't know, man. For me, I would say that the Toronto Blue Jays should be maybe like a 2A on that list as well, because they weren't supposed to be this bad. I didn't think they were going to be cellar dwellers. I know that they haven't been the best. Alec Manoa, after last year, you know, following his Mariners playoff appearances and like a really good Cy Young type season, started to go down a little bit in the last year and a half just as a team, but they should be better than they are this year. So I would say that they've been a disappointment as well.
As Patrick comes back next week, we will form a show, put things together, but I might have to throw out to him the idea of most disappointing players of the 2024 MLB season as a segment for next year. But let's wrap things up. Last segment, Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Patrick Harris will be back next week. He is out at Walker Stadium tonight for the Portland Pickles baseball game. What was the theme night for tonight?
God, they got some really good theme nights. Did not see what tonight's was, though.
Let's take a glance. By the way, did you see that they had their 10-cent beer night?
I did see that. I did not get out there to it, unfortunately, but the pics on social media looked awesome.
So you saw how they were serving those 10-cent beers?
It was tiny. Tiny. It was pretty funny.
It was like literally like the cups that they give you for your cough syrup, those little tiny like plastic cups, like taster cups, essentially. I think they were doing like 1 ounce pours of the 10 barrel pub beer of what they were doing out there.
It was obviously more of a gimmick. I don't think the OLCC would allow any establishment in the state of Oregon to sell a 12-ounce beer for 10 cents because, well, it probably happened just like it did. What was it, the White Sox that did that in Chicago? Where, yeah, there was
The Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians, thank you. The pandemonium that happened in Cleveland would happen at a Pickles game. But the nostalgia, the joke of it, I found that funny.
Which, if you have not read the like anything about that 10-cent beer night, I highly encourage going back and reading the stories from that in the 70s when they had, it was the Cleveland Indians versus Texas Rangers, and it was in Cleveland, I believe, the game where they did a 10-cent beer night, and it went about as expected. It was so bad that they had like a couple young girls that were running the beer truck. And they were just overwhelmed by how many people were wanting beers. The lines were getting long. People were getting unruly. That the girls just were like, F this.
They abandoned
it. They left the beer truck. Yeah. And so it was basically self-serve And it, at first, it started kind of hokey, like, ah, look at this. Oh, a guy ran onto the field. And then multiple people started to run onto the field. And then Rangers players were getting threatened. It literally almost started a whole brawl where the Cleveland Indians and the Texas Rangers had to fight off fans together. Like, the two teams, they had to partner up and fight off fans.
Yeah.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
There was some planning that was lacking. If you had enough employees, maybe that could have been pulled off. But yeah, I don't understand how selling 10 cent beers with like two people at a tap was a good idea to you. Just thinking like about humans lining up in one spot, not even about like the chaos that could ensue. How do you not plan for a better service of your main attraction?
Well, yeah, and I don't know if it was like they just had the one station to do that, but I mean,
seriously, yeah,
but still, it was absolute mess. It looks like tonight was Simpsons night.
Ooh, good stuff.
Out at Walker Stadium. And then Friday, we'll be out there for Portugal the Man night. And I am reading stuff from the social medias that Portugal the Man should be there. And they're going to have some special Portland Pickles Portugal the Man t-shirts that will only be available at the stadium. That you can get there. They did a collaboration on a hat with them last year, but apparently Portugal the Man will be there for the game next year, or on Friday. I don't think they were there last year when they did the theme, but they are reportedly supposed to be here this time around. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Again, dude, just a day at the baseball stadium, an organized baseball game in any league, any format. Just when you see the field for the first time, like there is just something, like there is a feeling that comes over, like the well-manicured grass, the chalk lines, them watering the field and the dirt and getting everything ready. There's something just so aesthetically pleasing about a baseball diamond in a well-put-together baseball stadium and field that when you climb those stairs at T-Mobile Park or whatever baseball park,
feeling,
and then you just see it from out of the concourse. And it's like, it's kind of dark in the concourse. You're under the seats and everything. But out there, it's just bright as day. The sun is hitting the field perfectly. Even at Walker Stadium, seeing a Pickles game is a great time. I will be bringing my my beer bat. They sell the beer bats there, which I believe are a 24-ounce pour.
Oh, that looks awesome.
But if you bring the bats back, then you get half the price for a beer. Because you have to buy the bat, and I think it's like $20-something.
Yeah. It's an investment, but...
But if you bring the bat back with you, then you just have to pay for the 24-ounce beer, which I think is like $12 or $14, something like that.
That's such a good deal. Let's go.
So I will be bringing the bat back. I will not be chugging the bat beer. I know that that is somewhat becoming a tradition out there at Walker Stadium. I will not be partaking in that. But I will enjoy a few nice tall ones. They also have a pickle margarita out there, or like a pickle cocktail or something like that.
Okay, all right. Get down with that. Hey, pickle juice hydrates you, baby.
I'll pass on that.
No pickle juice and whiskey shots for you?
We'll be over by the third baseline. I believe it is the Hot Corner Suite. So if you are out there at Walker Stadium on Friday, come try and track myself down, Dusty Hara. I believe Jason Zucanic will be showing up after the show. So if you see one of us, come over, say hey. Hope to see you out there. But hope to see you guys all back here next Tuesday when we get Patrick Harris back in the house. Jordan Schultz, obviously, he'll be behind the glass with us yet again. I'll be here, and we will be post-trade deadlining it up. Big moves yet to be made, 1 week away. Joe Fisher for Jordan Schultz.
Mariners better make four trades. Four!
All bats. All bats, baby.
All bats, baby.
This is the Hot Corner. We will catch you all next week. Peace.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Most disappointing teams in the MLB season. 503-864-6326 to share your thoughts. Someone texted in, is this the 1080 The Fan text number? And I said, yes, this is the 1080 The Fan text line number. Are you feeling lonely? Hot singles are ready to chat in your city. $1 for me to send you back sexy comments. $2 for me to do some explicit things on the 1080 The Fan only page. We need to get that up going. I'll do some foot stuff. We'll get another revenue stream in here. Did you pull that audio by chance?
Yeah, just trying to get it in the system really quick.
So I had to look up how to pronounce Randy Arozarena. And dear God, I still don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But we had a YouTube, and it's funny that he has been in the league for like 6 years or whatever. And we still don't know how to say his name correctly, but welcome to working on a baseball show where you probably mess up a dude. Listen, Jared Kelenic's been in the league for this long. And I'm probably
Kelnick.
See, and I pronounce his name wrong still, Kelnick, right?
It's
do I know who he is? Do I know what teams he played for? Do I know how he is as a baseball player? Yes. Can I pronounce his name right? No.
I've heard Major League Baseball announcers pronouncing his name incorrectly. Like, it's like, oh my God, that is not his name.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I wanted to pull the audio for
just a second.
This YouTube video of this guy telling us how to pronounce Randy A's name. That's what I'll refer to him going forward. Just Randy A of the Tampa Bay Rays. just listen to this guy tell us how to pronounce Randy A's name.
We are looking at how to pronounce the name of this Cuban professional baseball player for the Tampa Bay Rays of Major League Baseball. How do you go about pronouncing his name? In Spanish, his name would be said as Arozarena. But in English, or in America, it is generally said as Randy Arozarena.
Ah.
Randy Arozarena.
Randy Arozarena.
Arozarena.
Okay.
See, I thought the arena part that you needed the
Rania,
the squiggly line above the E or the N or something
the
like
N-ye?
That.
The A-A or N-ye? I can't remember how you say it.
Yeah, we're going back to seventh grade Spanish
like
here.
The Spanish alphabet.
Usted or es ustedes?
Thank you. God, I remember that question. I don't remember the answer, but I remember the question.
Only use vosotros in Spain, all right?
Yeah, vosotros is outside of Spain does not apply.
Your teachers are just crush you. Don't you ever use vosotros. If I hear you say vosotros, I'll kill you.
Well, then how about just don't teach it to me? How about just don't even give it to me, like, at all? Like, really? You're making me think of that?
I remember actually down in Anaheim, where Patrick Harris just was. My friends, the last day we were there, we were spent a few days down there. We went to essentially what was a swap meet. It was like this this giant warehouse down the road from Disneyland, and it had all these little booths and merchants and different things you could buy sneakers and get a haircut and get a tattoo and get a stereo system. And we were probably the only four white guys in that entire place.
Shocking.
Yeah, the Hispanic Latino population ran strong throughout that place. And I decided I wanted to try and order a mango smoothie in Spanish and bone up on my Spanish. And that went about as well as expected. Por favor, me gusta or me necesito slushy de mango or something along those lines.
Good for you.
I gave up immediately. The look on the lady's face was just like, you done there, chief? She didn't, but it would have been great if she just spoke like perfect English back at me. Like, yeah, it's going to be $5.99. Like, you're embarrassing yourself. Just please stop. Some other things that are embarrassing themselves are a few teams in the MLB. Schultzy, the Cubs, to me, are one of the more disappointing teams in the MLB. Their president of baseball operations, Jed Hoyer, said that barring a big win streak over the next week, anything the team does at the trade deadline will be to help them in future years. Chicago, my NL Central pick, is either last place or tied for last place in the NL Central. The Brewers, the Cardinals, and now the Pirates are all above them in the standings. Right now, it's between them and the Reds jockeying for that last place position. And I want to talk about one other team that is disappointing. It is the Cincinnati Reds. But to me, because I had them winning the NL Central, the Cubs, one of the most disappointing teams in the MLB.
I mean, I like your Cubs pick, brother. I feel like the Craig Council hire was such a big rush of energy for them. Like, the Cubs are getting back to the World Series. Like, Joe Madden 2014 vibes, right?
To take it from a divisional opponent to the manager, just like, that's a pretty nice manager you have. Would be a shame if we just took him and then won the NL Central. Well, some injuries and some underperformances on the as far as pitching and batting goes, then you'll find yourself in last place of the division.
Yeah, Dansby Swanson's having a really down year. It's like he's a Seattle Mariner, hitting like .213, just not great at the plate right now.
Well, it's like your two rookies are the guys that are having the best seasons on your team, Michael Bush and Imanaga. And
yeah.
It's like, hey, the guys that were playing really good last year, you want to possibly play a little better? I would say that, you know, them losing Jordan Montgomery, not much of a big loss for them since he sucks with the Diamondbacks now. But they lost Marcus Stroman. It's been a disappointing year for the Chicago Cubs. The Reds were another team I had on my list. I mean, also, why the World Series winners, the Rangers, paging the reigning World Series champions, Texas
Arizona
Rangers.
Diamondbacks on the list as well. I would put them in the disappointing category. I think we thought their young core was maybe going to take a step up this year.
Yeah, and they have been stagnant right around the middle of the field at best. They're playing a little bit better lately, but I mean, as far as like Corbin Carroll goes, I mean, just him alone.
Corbin Carroll has
been
terrible.
Again, Jordan Montgomery.
Well, they've been considering, and it's crazy that they're even whispering, you know, possibly trading Christian Walker. Like these guys there, they were organizational pieces. Now, what, 6 months after their World Series appearance, we're hearing about possible trades. That's crazy to me.
A couple AL East teams I got on my list as well. Rays and Blue Jays, they have been underwhelming this year. And I would say that if it's not the Cubs, the most disappointing to me team to me in the National League has got to be the Giants. They went after Matt Chapman. They got Blake Snell, brought in Jung Ho Lee, Jorge Soler.
Spent a lot of money.
They look like they were trying to make a move and trying to be winners this year, and they have been inconsistent as hell. Very disappointing. I had them finishing second in the division this year against the Dodgers. 60 games left. A lot can happen. But the way that the Giants have been playing this year, their inconsistency is what drives me nuts, and not being able to close out games either. It's a very weird team. And maybe Bob Melvin in year two is able to turn some things around. I'm sure this is not the year that he was expecting either. But if I were to go a 1-2, I would go Cubs 1, Giants 2 is my most disappointing in the National League. And then, yeah, I think the most disappointing in the American League would have to probably go Rangers. And then I would probably say Mariners, number 2. Even though they're still above 500 and have a chance at the playoffs, it's just that offense has been so damn putrid that it disappoints me.
Yeah, National League, I'll go Cubs. The Reds, I'm not sure they're too high on my list. I'm actually going to put my D-backs up there, even over the Giants. Like, they went to a World Series last year, and they are supposed to stay at that level of production, and they're not even close to it. Yeah, they could sneak in, maybe, if they have a good run in the second half of the season into the wild card, but that's just not going to happen. So I would say the D-backs number two, the Cubs number one for the NL for me. Mariners, yeah, number two in the American League, and yeah, the Texas Rangers. But I don't know, man. For me, I would say that the Toronto Blue Jays should be maybe like a 2A on that list as well, because they weren't supposed to be this bad. I didn't think they were going to be cellar dwellers. I know that they haven't been the best. Alek Manoah, after last year, you know, following his Mariners playoff appearances and like a really good Cy Young type season, started to go down a little bit in the last year and a half just as a team, but they should be better than they are this year. So I would say that they've been a disappointment as well.
As Patrick comes back next week, we will form a show, put things together, but I might have to throw out to him the idea of most disappointing players of the 2024 MLB season as a segment for next year. But let's wrap things up. Last segment, Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Patrick Harris will be back next week. He is out at Walker Stadium tonight for the Portland Pickles baseball game. What was the theme night for tonight?
God, they got some really good theme nights. Did not see what tonight's was, though.
Let's take a glance. By the way, did you see that they had their 10-cent beer night?
I did see that. I did not get out there to it, unfortunately, but the pics on social media looked awesome.
So you saw how they were serving those 10-cent beers?
It was tiny. Tiny. It was pretty funny.
It was like literally like the cups that they give you for your cough syrup, those little tiny like plastic cups, like taster cups, essentially. I think they were doing like 1 ounce pours of the 10 barrel pub beer of what they were doing out there.
It was obviously more of a gimmick. I don't think the OLCC would allow any establishment in the state of Oregon
to sell
a 12 ounce beer for 10 cents because, well, it probably happened just like it did. What was it? The White Sox that did that in Chicago where,
The Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians. Thank you. The pandemonium that happened in Cleveland would happen at a Pickles game. But the nostalgia, the joke of it, I found that funny.
Which, if you have not read the anything about that 10-cent beer night, I highly encourage going back and reading the stories from that in the 70s when it was the Cleveland Indians versus Texas Rangers, and it was in Cleveland, I believe, the game where they did a 10-cent beer night. And it went about as expected. It was so bad that they had like a couple young girls that were running the beer truck. And they were just overwhelmed by how many people were wanting beers. The lines were getting long. People were getting unruly. That the girls just were like, F this.
They abandoned
her. They left the beer truck. Yeah. And so it was basically self-serve. And at first it started kind of hokey. Like, look at this. Oh, a guy ran onto the field. And then multiple people started to run onto the field. And then Rangers players were getting threatened. It literally almost started a whole brawl where the Cleveland Indians and the Texas Rangers had to fight off fans together. Like the two teams, they had to partner up and fight off fans.
Yeah.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
That there was some planning that was lacking. If you had enough employees, maybe that could have been pulled off. But yeah, I don't understand how selling 10-cent beers with like two people at a tap was a good idea to you. Just thinking about humans lining up in one spot, not even about like the chaos that could ensue. How do you not plan for a better service of your main attraction?
Well, and I don't know if it was like they just had the one station to do that, but I mean,
seriously, yeah,
but still,
I wonder.
It was an absolute mess. It looks like tonight was Simpsons night.
Oh, good stuff
out at Walker Stadium. And then Friday, we'll be out there for Portugal the Man night. And I am reading stuff from the social medias that Portugal the Man should be there. And they're going to have some special Portland Pickles Portugal the Man t-shirts that will only be available at the stadium that you can get there. They did a collaboration on a hat with them last year. But apparently Portugal the Man will be there for the game next year or on Friday. I don't think they were there last year when they did the theme, but they are reportedly supposed to be here this time around. So, looking forward to it. Again, dude, just a day at the baseball stadium, an organized baseball game in any league, any format, just when you see the field for the first time, like there is just something, like there is a feeling that comes over, like the well-manicured grass, the chalk lines, them watering the field and the dirt and getting everything ready. There's something just so aesthetically pleasing about a baseball diamond in a well-put-together baseball stadium and field that when you climb those stairs at T-Mobile Park or whatever baseball park, feeling, and bro. Then you just see it from out of the concourse, and it's like, it's kind of dark in the concourse, you're under the seats and everything, but out there it's just bright as day, the sun is hitting the field perfectly, even at Walker Stadium, seeing a Pickles game is a great time. I will be bringing my my beer bat. They sell the beer bats there, which I believe are a 24-ounce pour.
Oh, that looks awesome.
But if you bring the bats back, then you get half the price for a beer. Because you have to buy the bat, and I think it's like $20-something.
Yeah. It's an investment, but...
But if you bring the bat back with you, then you just have to pay for the 24-ounce beer, which I think is like $12 or $14, something like that.
That's such a good deal. Let's go.
So I will be bringing the bat back. I will not be chugging the bat beer. I know that that is somewhat becoming a tradition out there at Walker Stadium. I will not be partaking in that. But I will enjoy a few nice tall ones. They also have a pickle margarita out there, or like a pickle cocktail or something like that.
Okay, all right. Get down with that. Hey, pickle juice hydrates you, baby.
I'll pass on that.
No, no pickle juice and whiskey shots for you?
We'll be over by the third baseline. I believe it is the Hot Corner Suite. So if you are out there at Walker Stadium on Friday, come try and track myself down, Dusty Hara. I believe Jason Zucanic will be showing up after the show. So if you see one of us, come over, say hey. Hope to see you out there. But hope to see you guys all back here next Tuesday when we get Patrick Harris back in the house. Jordan Schultz, obviously, he'll be behind the glass with us yet again. I'll be here, and we will be post-trade deadlining it up. Big moves yet to be made, 1 week away. Joe Fisher for Jordan Schultz.
Mariners better make four trades. Four!
All bats. All bats, baby.
All bats, baby.
This is the Hot Corner. We will catch you all next week. Peace. Patrick Harris will be back next week. He is out at Walker Stadium tonight for the Portland Pickles baseball game. What was the theme night for tonight?
God, they got some really good theme nights. Did not see what tonight's was, though.
Let's take a glance. By the way, did you see that they had their 10-cent beer night?
I didn't. I did see that. I did not get out there to it, unfortunately, but the pics on social media looked awesome.
So you saw how they were serving those 10-cent beers?
It was tiny, tiny. It was pretty funny.
It was like literally like... The cups that they give you for your cough syrup, those little tiny like plastic cups, like taster cups, essentially. I think they were doing like 1 ounce pours of the 10 barrel pub beer of what is what they were doing out there.
It was obviously more of a gimmick. I don't think the OLCC would allow any establishment in the state of Oregon to sell a 12 ounce beer for 10 cents because, well, it probably happened just like it did. What was it? The White Sox that did that in Chicago where, there was
The Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians. Thank you. The pandemonium that happened in Cleveland would happen at a Pickles game. But the nostalgia, the joke of it, I found that funny.
Which, if you have not read the anything about that 10-cent beer night, I highly encourage going back and reading the stories from that in the 70s when they had, it was the Cleveland Indians versus Texas Rangers, and it was in Cleveland, I believe, the game where they did a 10-cent beer night, and it went about as expected. It was so bad that they had like a couple young girls that were running the beer truck. And they were just overwhelmed by how many people were wanting beers. The lines were getting long. People were getting unruly. That the girls just were like, F this.
They
I'm out of here.
It.
They left the beer truck. Yeah. And so it was basically self-serve. And at first it started kind of hokey. Like, look at this. Oh, a guy ran onto the field. And then multiple people started to run onto the field. And then Rangers players were getting threatened. It literally almost started a whole brawl where the Cleveland Indians and the Texas Rangers had to fight off fans together. Like the two teams, they had to partner up and fight off fans.
Yeah.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
That there was some planning that was lacking. If you had enough employees, maybe that could have been pulled off. But yeah, I don't understand how selling 10-cent beers with like two people at a tap was a good idea to you. Just thinking about humans lining up in one spot, not even about like the chaos that could ensue. How do you not plan for a better service of your main attraction?
Well, yeah, and I don't know if it was like they just had the one station to do that, but I mean,
seriously, yeah,
but still,
I wonder.
It was an absolute mess. It looks like tonight was Simpsons night.
Ooh, good stuff.
Out at Walker Stadium. And then Friday, we'll be out there for Portugal the Man night. And I am reading stuff from the social medias that Portugal the Man should be there. And they're going to have some special Portland Pickles Portugal the Man t-shirts that will only be available at the stadium. That you can get there. They did a collaboration on a hat with them last year, but apparently Portugal the Man will be there for the game next year, or on Friday. I don't think they were there last year when they did the theme, but they are reportedly supposed to be here this time around. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Again, dude, just a day at the baseball stadium, an organized baseball game in any league, any format. Just when you see the field for the first time, like there is just something, like there is a feeling that comes over, like the well-manicured grass, the chalk lines, them watering the field and the dirt and getting everything ready. There's something just so aesthetically pleasing about a baseball diamond in a well-put-together baseball stadium and field that when you climb those stairs at T-Mobile Park or whatever
baseball park,
then you just see it from out of the concourse. And it's like, it's kind of dark in the concourse. You're under the seats and everything. But out there, it's just bright as day. The sun is hitting the field perfectly. Even at Walker Stadium, seeing a Pickles game is a great time. I will be bringing my my beer bat. They sell the beer bats there, which I believe are a 24-ounce pour.
Oh, that looks awesome.
But if you bring the bats back, then you get half the price for a beer. Because you have to buy the bat, and I think it's like $20-something.
Yeah. It's an investment, but...
But if you bring the bat back with you, then you just have to pay for the 24-ounce beer, which I think is like $12 or $14, something like that.
That's such a good deal. Let's go.
So I will be bringing the bat back. I will not be chugging the bat beer. I know that is somewhat becoming a tradition out there at Walker Stadium. I will not be partaking in that. But I will enjoy a few nice tall ones. They also have a pickle margarita out there, or like a pickle cocktail or something like that.
Okay, all right. Get down with that. Hey, pickle juice hydrates you, baby.
I'll pass on that.
No pickle juice and whiskey shots for you?
We'll be over by the third baseline. I believe it is the Hot Corner Suite. So if you are out there at Walker Stadium on Friday, come try and track myself down, Dusty Hera. I believe Jason Zucanic will be showing up after the show. So if you see one of us, come over, say hey. Hope to see you out there. But hope to see you guys all back here next Tuesday when we get Patrick Harris back in the house. Jordan Schultz, obviously, he'll be behind the glass with us yet again. I'll be here, and we will be post-trade deadlining it up. Big moves yet to be made, 1 week away. Joe Fisher for Jordan Schultz.
Mariners better make four trades. Four!
All bats, baby.
All bats, baby.
This is the Hot Corner. We will catch you all next week. Peace.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.